بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال أيضا: فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصلاة عماد الدين، فمن أقامها أقام الدين، ومن هدمها فقد هدم الدين، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. معزز علماء الكرام، respected brothers, elders in Islam, we all know as mu'mineen that the more we avoid the commission of sins, the closer we come to the mercy and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that should be a commitment in the life of every Muslim, every mu'min, to avoid as far as possible the commission of all sins, whether they be major or minor. The more a person commits sins, the more he disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the further he drifts away from the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat of the Quran that I recited before you, in this verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains one of the most effective means whereby a person can avoid the commission of sins. Allah ta'ala says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar." That verily salah, performing of namaz, of salah, is something that prevents from that which is immoral, indecent, and from all vice and evil, from all sin. This verse of the Quran explains to us that the salah that we perform daily, our 5 times salat, should at least be instrumental in assisting us in avoiding all forms of sin, all forms of disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, all forms of immorality, all forms of indecent actions. This salah is supposed to play that major role in our lives. In the hadith we read, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala explains in one hadith that there was a certain young man that had newly reverted to Islam. He became a Sahabi, but prior to accepting Islam he had this ill habit of committing sins. So after having accepted Islam, someone complained to Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this young man has come into the fold of Islam, he performs salah behind you, but after salah he indulges in all types of immoral deeds. So Rasul Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam very calmly replied that there is nothing to worry about, he has still commenced performing salah, very soon the same salah will assist in restraining himself, restraining this person from the commission of sins. So we have nothing to worry about. This salah is effective. It will prevent this person in future from committing sins. It takes a bit of time for him to come into that category where salah will assist in helping him to avoid the commission of sins. Barely a few days had passed when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam was brought the good news. Someone said to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this young man has totally transformed his life, he has changed his direction in life, now he is at every moment of the day punctual with his dini obligations, and he has abandoned all types of sinning, all types of sins he has discarded from his life. So on this Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said that I have told you beforehand that the salah inshallah will prevent him from committing sins. After all, this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. So the fact that the salah is a formidable weapon of the Muslimin, it helps in preventing a person from sin, it helps a person in coming close to the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that even non-Muslims have acknowledged. A distinguished American psychologist has written somewhere that all historians are unanimous that the amazing success of the dominance of Islam in history lies in the apparent coherence and sense of unity that exists among the Muslim community. In others, the unity that has been created among the Muslims, this has contributed towards success and towards the dominance of this religion in the entire world. But then he further writes that no one has written truly that how this miracle has been worked. But he himself then further explains that in my understanding and in the understanding of many psychologists, the factor that has contributed to the phenomenal and astounding success of Islam is the 5 daily prayers that are performed by the Muslim community. He says that 5 times a day, when the Muslim nation, whether they are in the solitude of the desert, whether they are in vast assemblies in the crowded cities, 5 times a day they face the same direction of Makkatul Mukarrama and they express their love and adoration for their Creator using words such as Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest of all. This has truly contributed towards this Muslim Ummah coming close to the mercy of Allah and being united. So this is truly a formidable weapon given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of salah. That not only does it prevent a person from committing sin, if performed in the true sense of the word, at the same time it assists in building unity in the Muslim Ummah. Something that we tend to regard as something trivial. In salah, when we perform salah as jamaat, the ahadith emphasize the importance of straightening the sufuf, which today we do not pay attention to. In the hadith, Rasulullah Kareem SAW has said, لَتُسَوُّنَّ الصُّفُوفِ أَوْ لَيُخَالِفَنَّ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ رُجُوهِكُمْ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. That you will have to straighten your sufuf, your rows in salah, or else Allah Ta'ala will create a division in your ranks. Allah Ta'ala will create disunity and discord in your hearts. So very, very important. In fact, the fuqaha, the jurists tell us that when performing salawat jamaat, the most important sunnah is that of straightening the sufuf. So important is this as far as salah is concerned, that when our sufuf, when the rows are straightened, then Allah Ta'ala causes our hearts also to be straightened and to be inclined towards one another. Allah Ta'ala creates that unity. On the other hand, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam warns that if you will not straighten your sufuf and your rows, Allah Ta'ala will create discord, disunity amongst you. Many people make the statement nowadays that what is the reason for adopting Islamic apparel, Islamic dress? What is the necessity of following the sunnahs, the etiquette of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? The important thing is to cleanse the heart. We do not have to outwardly show our Islam. So in a sense this is correct, that purification of the heart is the most important thing. But to disregard our outward expression of Islam and to say that this is not important, that also is a very dangerous statement to make. This hadith indicates that outwardly if our sufuf, our rows will be straightened in salah, then Allah will straighten our hearts. Unity will come into our hearts. On the other hand, if our sufuf, rows in salah are crooked, Allah Ta'ala will create crookedness in the heart. In other words, discord and disunity will be created in the heart. So nevertheless, Allah has blessed us with such an important ibadat, the most important ibadat of all the elements in the life of a Muslim is that of salah, which is why in the ahadith we are told that inna awwala shay'in yuhasabu bil habdu yawm al-qiyamah as-salah. Aw kama qala li salatu salam. That with regard to the hukukul ibad, with regard to the rights, or rather with regard to the hukukullah, with regard to the rights of Allah, the first thing that a person will be questioned about on the day of Qiyamah will be salah. So important is this, that salah ought to prevent us from committing sins. But now many of us will perhaps raise a question, In fact, it's something for us to take stock of, to analyze, that there are people seated here, many of us, who have been performing salah for the last 10 years of our life, someone for the last 20 years, someone for the last 30, 40, 50, 60 years too, depending on our ages. So something for us to analyze, that many of us performing salah for so many decades, yet we cannot discard sin from our lives. We are still habitual of committing sins. So the question may arise, that when the Quran Kareem speaks in these terms, that performance of salah prevents a person from that which is immoral, indecent, prevents from committing sins, then why is it that we are still guilty of committing sins? Why are we habitual of committing sins? Something for us to analyze. If we really take stock of ourselves and we really ponder, we will realize that the answer to this question is that we have to now think carefully, that is our salah truly salah in the true sense of the word? We may be performing salah for 40 or 50 years, but can any of us guarantee that even a single sajda is worthy of presenting in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even a single sajda have we performed in such a condition that we are not distracted in our salah? Thoughts of the world did not come into our salah? Is even a single sajda worthy of presentation? Something for us to ponder over. That if our salah is not being performed in the required way, then how can we expect this salah to prevent us from the commission of sins? Salah in the true sense of the word will become salah when there is khushu and khudu in our salah. The verse which I recited from Surah Mu'minun, Allah Ta'ala says very clearly, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That truly successful are those believers who adopt humility in their salah, who are humble in their salah, who perform their salah in the true sense of the word, what khushu and khudu, those people will be truly successful. Hazrat Maulana Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah explains that the word used in this verse, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, the word falah, success, is such a word in the Arabic language that one single word cannot encompass the true meaning of this word in any other language, whether it be Urdu, English, whatever the case may be. No single word can encompass the true meaning of falah, because this is no ordinary success. This success refers to the best of this world and the best of the next world. That if a person performs his salah diligently, with true concentration, with true devotion, then he will achieve and attain, with the grace of Allah, the best success in this world and also in the year after. So in order for the salah to prevent us from committing sins, this salah has to be performed with khushu and khudu. These are two terms that are normally used, khushu and khudu. Khudu wal-dad and khushu wal-sheen. Khudu wal-dad means that outwardly we must be tranquil in our performance of salah, while performing salah, to ensure that we fulfill all the faraiz, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, and the adab, etiquette of salah. That there must be no unnecessary movement when performing salah. We should not, while performing salah, fidget with our clothing, that the clothing has just come from the laundry, newly pressed and ironed. The clothing should not become creased and crumpled. That we worry about that play with our clothing in salah. Similarly, not to scratch our bodies, not to fidget in salah. In other words, total, as far as the movement of salah is concerned, we should not make any unnecessary movement. Yes, the necessary movements we have to carry out, going into ruku, going into sujood, then performing all these postures in the correct way, in the sunnat way, ensuring that we perform the salah with ease, with ta'dil arkan, in a very easy way, in a way that a person is totally concentrating in his salah. This will refer to khudu, outward attentiveness towards salah. And khushu, what the shin, refers to internal devotion as far as salah is concerned. That our heart also must be totally focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the ibadat that we are carrying out. It should not happen, such is the case with regard to many of us, that as soon as we say Allahu Akbar, then our mind immediately drifts to our shops, to our businesses, to our professions, to our worldly pursuits. We are physically engaged in salah, but our heart is now attentive to our business, to our worldly pursuits, to our worldly engrossments. This does not constitute khushu. Khushu means that internally too, we should be totally, totally focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, this is not the case. Today we are living in a world of automation. We perform salah in such a way that as if when we say takbir-e-tahreema to commence salah, it is as if we have pressed the start button to commence our salah. And by the time we make salam, it is as if there is an auto stop. That salah has now terminated. But when we take stock of ourselves, many of us, we perform two rakat salah, whether it is sunnat, nafal. At the end of our salah, we become so engrossed in our worldly pursuits that even we cannot remember that which surah we recited in the first rakat and which surah in the second rakat. When we perform salah behind the imam, we just perform asr salah. This is a silent salah. But how many of us can remember, those of us, inshallah, we all performed our fajr salah. How many of us can remember which surah the imam recited this morning in fajr in the first rakat and in the second rakat? Leave aside fajr, we will be performing maghrib salah. After making salam, many of us cannot recall which surah the imam recited in the first rakat, which surah in the second rakat. That is our focus, our attentiveness as far as salah is concerned, that we do not pay attention. We do not have that khushu, that attentiveness of the heart, devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an integral part of our salah, khushu. Together with khudu, outward attentiveness, there must be inward attentiveness as well towards the salah. Very, very important. Many of us listen to the talim in fadail salah. We read the case of Hazrat Zainul Abidin rahmatullah alayh, that he used to say that when I commence salah, I first and foremost prepare myself mentally for the salah by realizing and by understanding that I'm standing before my Creator, that I'm standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to worship Him. And then I imagine as if Jannat is on my right side, Jahannam on my right side, on my left side. In that way I perform salah, knowing that if I perform salah correctly, then inshallah with the grace of Allah, Allah will bless me with this Jannat. And if I am lax in the performance of my salah, I could be facing and heading in that different direction towards Jahannam. So imagine if a person performs salah in this way, which is required. أَنْتَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. To perform salah in such a way as if you are looking at Allah Ta'ala. Yes, we cannot see Allah in this world, but at least to make ourselves mentally prepared to understand that Allah Ta'ala is definitely watching us. If a person performs salah in that manner, we can well imagine how good the salah will be, what the quality of the salah will be. Some of our pious predecessors used to say that we perform salah in such a way as if Malakul Maut is waiting, that as soon as we make salam, Malakul Maut is going to extract our ruh from the body. In other words, if it is to perform salah as if that was the last salah on the face of this planet, we can well imagine how much concentration will be put into that salah. But today, unfortunately, we do not have that khushu and khudu in our salah, that outward attentiveness and inward attentiveness, with the regard that it has become difficult for us to abandon sins from our lives. Even when he sat down to make tilawat of the Qur'an, the pages of the Qur'an are opened, but our minds are elsewhere. We are reciting verbally, but our heart is not focused that we are reciting the kalam of Allah. Hazrat Ikrimah rahimahullah, Hazrat Ikrimah radiallahu ta'ala, when he used to sit down to recite the Qur'an, before reciting the Qur'an, he would repeat time and again, هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي. And then he would fall down unconscious. After some time he would only regain his composure. And then he would begin to recite. Knowing that I am reciting the kalam of Allah, totally attentive, reciting the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we sit down to make dhikr too, we are saying verbally, Allah, Allah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. But our minds, unfortunately, are elsewhere. A Farsi Persian poet has put this very beautifully. He says, Bar zuba tasbih wa dar dil gawahar ichuni tasbih chedarat asar. That on our tongues we have the tasbih subhanallah, but in our hearts we are thinking of asses and cows. We are thinking of our worldly possessions. We are uttering the name of Allah, but in the heart we are worried about our business, our worldly possessions, our material assets. So the poet says, Ichuni tasbih che darat asar. How can this tasbih ever have a profound effect on our lives when we are not devoted, not concentrating, and not realizing that we are taking the name of Allah? So something for us to take stock of. But at the same time, we should not become despondent. We are all weak. Our ibadat is weak. We should keep hope that no matter how broken our efforts are, no matter how deficient our salah is, the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is always overwhelming. Allah will, inshallah, will accept our ibadat. Allah will accept our tilawat. Allah will accept our dhikr. That is why Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat, Hazrat Mawlana Thani rahmatullah alayhi says, this Farsi couplet, I have amended a little. He says, I amended it to read this way, ke bar zuba tasbih wa dar dil gao khar, ichuni tasbih hamdarat asar. That on our tongues is subhanallah, although in our hearts are thoughts of our material possessions. But as the Tanvi rahmatullah says, ichuni tasbih hamdarat asar. That do not be despondent. Even this inattentive dhikr of yours will still have an effect. Inshallah, Allah will accept it. On one occasion, Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi, in his last days, when he had become blind, he was seated thinking that I am all alone. But close to him was Hazrat Khadim Khas, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Yahya Sahib rahmatullahi, the father of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi. And also in the same majlis was his younger brother, Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi. So because he had gone blind, he could not see. He heard some movement, so he asked, who is here? Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Yahya Sahib rahmatullahi replied, Hazrat, it is Muhammad Yahya, I am here. And my younger brother, Ilyas, is also here. So then, in a state of extreme emotion, Hazrat Mawlan Gangohi rahmatullah said to these two brothers, that listen to me, ki Allah ka naam chahe kitni ghaflat se liya jaye, asar kiye baghair nahi rehta hai. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullah said, that no matter with how much inattentiveness the name of Allah is taken, it is not without any effect. It will have some effect or the other. Allah will inshallah accept that dhikr of ours that we utter, Allah, Allah, subhanallah, whatever the case may be. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangohi rahmatullahi used to also mention this incident in many majalis. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith has also written this in his Abiti. So a very important statement for us to ponder over and to create hope within us that no matter how broken our efforts are, no matter how deficient our salah is, no matter how deficient our zikr and tilawat is, we do it for the pleasure of Allah, even though our minds may wander, inshallah that ibadat will inshallah gain acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we need to make an attempt, at least an effort, to make our salah, salah in the true sense of the word, to make our tilawat, tilawat in the true sense of the word, to make our zikr a zikr in the true sense of the word. As-sa'yu minna wal-itmamu min Allah. Our duty is to make that effort. Allah will crown that effort, inshallah, with success. That is why Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Hazrat Maulana, Ashraf Ali Sahib Tanvi Rahmatullah used to say, with regard to the thoughts that pervade a person's heart during salah, thoughts about his business, thoughts about his worldly pursuits, he used to say that this is something that is sometimes unavoidable. So do not worry yourself about something that is unavoidable. These are our selfish thoughts, whispers that the shaitan is putting into our hearts in order to distract us from the remembrance of Allah. Your duty is to make sure that you comply with that which is within your control. So what is within your control? To ensure that you perform your salah with ta'dil arkan, with ease. To ensure that you perform all the postures of salah in conformity with the sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In others, to ensure that outwardly your salah conforms to the requirements of sharia, then inshallah, automatically that khushu, that tranquility, that humbleness, humility of the heart will also be attained with the will of Allah. So do not try and confront the thoughts of the world. As the Tanvi Rahmatullah used to say, that the thoughts that come in salah, the thoughts of the world that pervade, invade a person's heart in salah, he said it can be compared to a dog. You walk on the street, when a dog barks at you, if you're going to confront the dog, it will start barking even louder. But if you ignore the dog eventually will become tired of barking and run away, move away. So similarly, these wasawis also, these thoughts that come in the mind are like the dog. The more you try and confront it, the more it will invade your heart. So the best way is just to ignore it, to concentrate on that which is within your capacity, within your capability. Sometimes we see a dog also, we drive the car, and a dog comes running alongside the car, barking loudly. But a dog will also only run up to a certain point. If you put brakes on your car and stop the car, the dog will bark even louder. But if you continue driving, there is a point where the dog puts sharp brakes with his paws. Such sharp brakes, even sharper brakes than your vehicle also. So you ignore that, then inshallah it will not hamper your ibadat. It comes, but we must make an effort to try and create that outward attentiveness, then inshallah that inward attentiveness will also be realized, will also be attained, will also be achieved. So therefore the Quranic ayat says that salah prevents a person from committing sins. Why does this happen? We know there is the outward enemy, shaitan. Then there is the inward enemy of the nafs, our carnal desires. The Sufia, the saints and mystics of Islam write that the flame of carnal desires exists in the mind of a person, in the brain. In other words, the center of carnal desires is the brain. And the center of iman and divine love is the heart. So they write that when a person performs salah with concentration, at least trying to attain that outward attentiveness and concentration, then such a flame of divine love is created in the heart that it overwhelms and overpowers that flame of carnal desires that is in the brain. The result will be that a person in his heart develops love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is this love that will cause him to be more observant of his shar'i obligations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the salah is merely the first rung of the ladder. If we can bring the salah under control, at least outward attentiveness, not to scratch our bodies, not to fidget with our clothing in salah, to perform our salah according to the requirements, then that will be the first rung of the ladder towards encompassing the entire deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. Which is why in the hadith that I recited before you, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, As-salatu imaduddin. Man aqamaha aqamaddin. Wa man hadamaha hadamaddin. That salah is like a center post, like a center pillar of deen. The person who looks after this pillar has looked after his entire deen. Whereas the person who neglects this pillar, he has destroyed his entire deen. So in this hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the similitude of salah as being that of the center post of a tent. When we erect a tent, there is a center column, a center pole, a center post. That is the main item that causes the tent to be erected. On the four sides, you may have pegs that you pin onto the ground, but the main item that causes the tent to remain erect is the center post, the center column, that pole in the center. So if that pole remains standing, the tent also remains standing. If that pole has to collapse, then the tent also collapses. So in this hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is trying to give this example that if you look after your salah, you have looked after your entire deen. Why? Because that diligence, devotion in salah will create love, divine love for Allah Ta'ala in your hearts. And when that love comes about, it will become very, very easy for you to toe the line of Sharia in all dimensions of our lives. In Mu'attal Imam Malik, right at the beginning, Babu Wuquti Salah, Imam Malik Rahmatullahi has recorded the instruction of Hazrat Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, which he wrote to his various governors in different parts of the Islamic Empire. He wrote to them that Inna min ahammi umurikum indi as-salah. Man hafidaha wa hafaza alayha faqad hafidha ad-deen wa man dayya'aha fahuwa lima siwaha adya'u. He wrote to his governors that in my opinion, the most important facet and the most important element in your matters is the matter of salah. That you perform salah diligently and advise those under you also to perform salah correctly. Then he explained to the governors that the person who looks after his salah, in other words, who performs it correctly according to the etiquette, man hafidha salah wa hafaza alayha, and at the same time he is punctual with his salah. Punctuality also means to perform salah punctually with jama'at. The Quran doesn't tell us sallu salah, that pray your salah. It tells us aqimu salah, establish salah. So establishing salah means to take into account all the requirements, the sunan mustahabbat, and also to perform our first salah with jama'ah. So as Umar wrote to them, that he who performs his salah correctly and performs it punctually with jama'at, he has protected and safeguarded his entire deen. On the other hand, the person who destroys his salah, he does not pay attention. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Destruction for those people who perform salah in a state of neglectfulness, in a state of negligence. So if a person does not look after his salah, as Umar Dan wrote in that letter to his governors, that he will then destroy even all the more other dimensions of his deen. If he cannot look after his salah, he will not be able to look after the other facets and other dimensions of his deen. So such an important role salah plays in our lives. Today we are not even perturbed if we miss our salah with jama'at. Such an important directive of Sharia, performing salah with jama'at. Today we tend to make a joke out of it. If a person, due to some valid excuse, got late for Jamaat. We are leaving the masjid and the person enters the masjid. Many people make a joke out of it. They will tell the man himself first and foremost, out of regret he will say that today I got delayed, I missed my salah. A person who is punctual will definitely have regret. But people will joke with him. They will say, don't worry, you are not late for Asar salah, you are early for Maghrib salah. So there's not something to jeer about, something to take very, very serious. Hazrat Muhammad bin Salima rahmatullah alayh, who was a student of the students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. The two famous students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayh, Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh. Their student Muhammad bin Salima rahimahullah, on one occasion, due to a certain reason, he missed his salah with Jamaat. He had a valid excuse. It can happen. Now we are also going towards the winter months. Salah will become earlier. It is possible. A person did not see the notice on the board, thinking that Salah, Asar Salah is still at 5:30 p.m. But the time changes to 5:15. And he comes a bit late. It is possible that he miscalculated. He missed his Salah with Jamaat. So for some excuse of this sort, Muhammad bin Salima rahmatullah alayh missed his salah with Jamaat. He was such an ardent performer of salah with Jamaat that he regretted this to such an extent that he thought to himself, and he was no ordinary person. It is written about him, besides his five first salah, he used to perform 200 nafal rakats daily. 200 nafar rakats daily is no ordinary task. And with that, punctual with his salah wa jamaat. So he missed his salah wa jamaat, and he was a man of knowledge. He had the hadith of Rasulullah Kareem Sallam in his mind, performing salah wa jamaat. The salatul mar'i fi jamaatin tabdulu ala salati wahdahu bi 27 darajatan aw juz'an aw kama qala alayhi salatu salam. That the person who performs salah wa jamaat, he gets 27 times more reward than performing the salah individually. So he had this hadith in his mind. In order to make up for having missed that salah, he then went home. After he had performed his initial asar salah, he repeated his asar salah 27 times. In order to catch up with that virtue, that salah performed with jamaat is 27 times more superior. That night when he went to sleep, in his dream, someone tells him that, Ya Muhammad ibn Salimata, فَكَيْفَ بِتَأْمِينِ الْمَلَائِكَ, that yes, you performed your salah a further 27 times to attain the virtue of performing salah with jamaat, but in spite of that, you were unable to utter the Ameen behind the Imam when the Imam recites Waladdallin. In the dream, he was being taken to another hadith of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِذَا قَالَ الْإِمَامُ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِ وَلَضَّالِّينَ فَقُولُوا آمِينَ فَمَنْ وَافَقَ تَأْمِينُهُ تَأْمِينَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, behind the Imam, when the Imam recites Waladdallin, then you say Ameen. And then the virtue of saying Ameen is given, that in the masjid when salah takes place with Jama'ah, when the Imam says Waladdallin, when the occasion of Ameen arrives, then even the Malaika, the Malaika of Rahmat in the masjid, they too say Ameen. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if you as the follower behind the Imam, if your Ameen coincides with the Ameen of the Farishtas, then Allah will forgive all your sins. So in the dream he is being reminded that you may have performed your salah 27 times to catch up with that virtue, but you could not attain this virtue of saying Ameen behind the Imam when the Malaika say Ameen. So these people were concerned about the salah with Jamaat. One buzruk comes to the masjid and people are leaving the masjid. Maybe a similar situation when namaz time was changed, salah was brought earlier, and he miscalculated, he came in his normal time, thinking he will get asr salah at 5:30 p.m., but today it was 5:15, people are leaving the masjid. In extreme regret, he let out a heave of regret. He sighed on missing the salah with jamaat. Another ahlullah, Allah wala, another pious person was leaving the masjid who was also sahib al-kash. He goes up to this pious person that missed his salah with jamaat and tells him that the sigh of regret that you let out, I saw such anwar and barakat descending, such acceptance coming on the sigh, that I'm prepared to trade my salah with jamaat for your that ah that you took out. That sigh that you made on missing salah with jamaat. That is how important these people is to consider their salah. If you read the ahadith, on one occasion, a sahabi, Hazrat Abu Jaham, radiallahu ta'ala, gifted a beautiful shawl to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That had come from Yemen. It had beautiful patterns on it, some embroidery. So Nabi Karim sallam accepted the sheet and he donned it and he began to perform some salah. This is also a sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should concentrate upon. People give us gifts. The way to appreciate that gift is to show that the person was really in need of that gift. And then when he uses that gift, the person that gave the gift also becomes happy that I gave him the gift, at least he is utilizing it. Today, because let's say many people gift us with itar, perfume. And we have so many perfumes at home, we can open up a shop with it also. But in spite of that, even if a person gives you a bottle of perfume, still show your need for it. Appreciate it. Thank the person. When someone used to give, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam a gift, he used to take it with such fervor that the person would become happy. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to show as if he was in need of that. So then the person giving the gift also becomes happy that I gave him something that he required. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put on this sheet, the shawl, and he performed his salah. While performing salah, his attention was slightly distracted towards the beautiful patterns and the embroidery on the sheet. This distracted his attention in salah somewhat. So when Nabi Sallam completed the salah, he sent someone with this beautiful sheet, the sheet with patterns, to the home of Abu Jaham and told the people, وَأْتُونِ بِإِمْبَجَانِيِّهِ, that return the shawl to him and tell him to give me in place of this a very plain, straightforward sheet that does not have so many patterns that can distract my attention. So look at this, just a slight distraction was not tolerated by Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the ahadith we read the story of Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. Once he was busy performing some nafal salah in his fruit orchard. As he was engaged in salah, a little bird that was in the fruit orchard wanted to get out over the wall of this garden, of this fruit orchard. But the trees in the fruit orchard were so dense, the vegetation was so close to one another, the little bird could not find a road to leave the fruit orchard. It made several attempts. Each time it returned and perched onto the branch of the tree. So this distracted the attention of Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. His mind became focused. He turned towards that bird, having pity on his condition, it cannot leave the fruit orchard. After he completed the salah, after he made salam, he realized that I am the owner of this fruit orchard. Today this fruit orchard caused me to be inattentive in my salah, to be distracted in my salah. Immediately he went to Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Rasul of Allah, I have given this entire fruit orchard as khairat in the path of Allah. That such a fruit orchard is not worthy of being in my possession that causes me to be distracted in my salah. We can well imagine the value of that fruit orchard. Today it could be worth billions of rands. Who has that capacity in him to give millions of rains in sadqa in the path of Allah. Today we have a mere 2 or 5 rand 10 in our pockets while making salah. If the attention is diverted to the beauty of that lousy 2 rand worth of pen, even we will not be prepared to give the 2 rand 10 in sadaqah also. Yet the Sahabi gave the entire fruit orchard in sadaqah. Because they realized that these worldly pursuits, worldly material things, should not distract us from our devotion, from our ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the ilaj, what is the solution for this? How can we create that attentiveness in our salah? How can we focus in our salah? So one solution I already gave, Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, on his authority, Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullah alayh, that you take care of that which is within your control. Something that is beyond your control, do not confront that. So within your control is to create that outward attentiveness in salah. Perform the salah wa ta'adil arkan with ease. Complete all the postures very calmly with total ease. And fulfill all the sunnahs of salah. In salah, we should perform our salah in such a way that our eyes in qiyam are focused on the place of sajda. In ruku, on our feet. In sajda, on our nose. In that way we can concentrate on salah. And try and ponder as we recite, that we are reciting the kalam of Allah. Then inshallah we will get that concentration in salah. So this is the first part of the solution. A second way to acquire that total concentration in salah is to avoid all those actions that create this neglect in salah. One such action, many of us do not realize, is israf, that is wastage of water. When you're making wudu, we tend to waste too much water because we have a lot of water at our disposal. We have the taps, turn on the tap, and no matter how much water you want, water comes through the tap. So we tend to waste a bit of too much water. Israf means to use more than necessary water in wudu. If it is your own water, it belongs to you, paying for the water, then too it is makruh. In Durr-e Mukhtar it is written that if it is water of waqf, most masajid, the water facility is waqf. To waste water that is waqf, that is not only makruh, but it is haram. Even in the masjid we tend to waste water. We have to be reminded that water is a precious commodity. Do not waste it. Look after it. So this is one of the factors that cause neglect in our salah. On one occasion in Deoband, after Asr, when the students flocked to the Chatta Masjid, those who have been to Deoband, who studied there, know where the Chatta Masjid is. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hassan Sahib Gangoi Rahmatullahi, his Qiyamgah, his place of residence, was in the room adjacent to Chatta Masjid. So after Asr, the students of Darul Ulum Deoband, many used to go sit in the majlis of Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi. Many more used to come and sit in the majlis of our Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. And we have seen this after Asr. In his later life, when he was old and frail, in the room the majlis used to take place. Before that, in the masjid, wherever the majlis used to take place, it used to be packed to capacity. The students used to fill it like sardines, not a place to put a foot also. And the students were very bad takalluf, because the Mufti Sahib used to make them feel comfortable. They used to be at ease, and they used to pose questions to the Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi. Hafiz Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullahi, who is a Khalifa of Hazrat Hakim al-Islam, Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullahi, Hakim al-Ummat Hazrat Tanwi, Hakim al-Islam Hazrat Madani Rahmatullahi. So Hafiz Tayyab Sahib Rahmatullahi also comes to this majlis. He is a blind Hafiz, but he used to attend the majlis regularly. So on one occasion, one student posed the question to Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi, ki Hazrat, wuzu ke andar israf karne mein nuksan kya hai? Hazrat, if a person wastes water in wudu, What is the harm of this? So the Mufti Sahib gave the Shari hukam that it is makruh. Like I mentioned, if it is your own water belonging to you, then also it is makruh, abhorrent, despicable. But if it is waqf water, it is even more serious. It is haram. So the Mufti Sahib said, it is makruh. And then everyone was silent. Hafiz Tayyib Sahib had the courage to speak up. He said to the Mufti Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat, ye talibim ye sawal nahi pooch raha ke wuzu ke andar israf ka shari hukam kya hai. Wo yu pooch raha hai ki iska nuksan kya hai. He is not asking what is the shari law applicable to wastage of water. He is asking what is the harm of it. So then Hazrat Mufti Sahib said ke iska nuksan ye hai ke namaz ka khushu khatam ho jata hai. Concentration in salah is lost by wasting water. And we complain that we cannot concentrate in salah. So this is one of the ilaj and solutions. That before salah, when you make wudu, not to waste wudu. A further solution, Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib of Jalalabad Rahmatullah used to say, that if a person wants to acquire khushu, concentration in his salah, he should prepare himself for that salah half an hour before that salah time. Half an hour before. Our condition, we run for salah last minute. So into rush for the salah last minute. First and foremost, you're going to open the tap full blast so that there is a strong flow of water. You can make wuzu quicker. You're wasting more water. And then you come huffing and puffing into the masjid to catch the imam. So what concentration will be in salah? So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah used to say that prepare yourself half an hour before salah. In that way you will have enough time to make wudu also with calm and ease, reach the masjid in good time, sit in preparation for salah. In the hadith it comes that the person who comes early sits waiting for salah to stand up. Every minute that he spends waiting for salah, he also gets the reward of salah as if he is engaged in salah. And if a person has time, he can sit down, make tilawat, make zikr. In this way, he prepares himself for salah. If there is sunnahs before that namaz, perform the sunnahs as well. In this way, in the first salah, you will be able to acquire khushu, attentiveness. His heart will be totally focused. Today, our condition, that if sometimes by chance, we come into the masjid 10 minutes earlier, We did not estimate the time properly. Then to instead of coming to the masjid, sitting in the saf, engaging in dhikr or tilawat, we will look at the watch, the clock from outside, still 10 minutes. Let us chill for a little while. Our friends are there. Let us chill out, engage in conversation. And that conversation, most of the time, is with regard to worldly matters. So if we discuss worldly matters before coming to the court of Allah, how can we expect to acquire khushu and concentration in our salah? So these are the various solutions, ilaj for this, to bring about that concentration in salah. Number one, that we concern ourselves with that which is within our control. Outward attentiveness. Then if these wasawis, these thoughts invade our heart, our mind, from the shaitan, ignore them. Inshallah they will go away. And secondly, to ensure that the wudu that you make before performing salah, not to waste water. And thirdly, as I mentioned, try and prepare your salah, yourself for salah, well in advance. Then a person does not have to rush. He can focus in his salah. So in this way, that focus will come in salah. Then inshallah, we can acquire this virtue, promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. That verily salah prevents from that which is immoral, indecent, and also prevents a person from vice and evil. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of inshallah performing all our namazes diligently, focused, with attentiveness, with khushu and khudu, so that inshallah that salah of ours tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah can be valuable for us on the scale of deeds, and this salah can inshallah bring us closer to Allah. And as I mentioned, it is the first rung of the ladder. If our salah is performed correctly, then inshallah we can safeguard and look after every dimension, every element of our deen as well. Allah Ta'ala inshallah make that possible for us. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.